But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline. Brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
So we were having a little chat. I know the Bears had a day of rest. Is that accurate? I don't believe that.
Yeah, it sounds
I think they must have done the college guys, right? You can't stop in the middle of this. Do you think that maybe a Matt Campbell interviewed yesterday?
No, I think Campbell was one of the first guys they talked to.
Okay.
I've got a relatively high degree of confidence in that regard. I figured you guys were talking about what Sammy's big apology is going to be this weekend.
Wow. He already apologized. He's
going right in.
But what did he apologize? I mean, what did he apologize for? Right?
It was accepted.
That's a good question, Brad. You want to come and do the interview with us? I mean, we get your credential.
What would your question be to him?
I would pay money. You couldn't get me there if you sent a limo.
You are quite chesty the morning
what
after.
What about
Ovechkin
a helicopter?
Scored those goals.
What form of transportation?
No form of transportation to get me there. But like, that's like if your kid comes to you and they apologize. Okay, well, what are you sorry for?
This is a football interview, pal.
Okay,
you want to ask Sammy a question? Get a ticket.
I got all kinds of thoughts. I mean, we could go till 10 o'clock on this, but
all right. Well, we respect your curiosity, but tomorrow 10:40 on The Score, you'll be listening. We'll have the Sammy interview.
I'm looking forward to the Paul Sullivan breakdown of the whole thing, but okay. What football stuff should we tackle here?
Let's talk about the Bears coaching search. And whether they've reached a sort of, I don't know. Mike McCarthy is clearly different than other candidates. I don't know much about whether he insisted on coming in or they wanted to bring him in, but they flew him in. They talked to him. That's different. That's an outsider, an outlier, I should say, in terms of the other ways they've operated. Are they going to go through this entire thing and wait till the last minute, or could they end this at some point if they felt they found their guy?
I'm sure if they felt like that they had their guy, they would move. But I believe they want to get through some guys that remain on the list here and then probably spend the weekend to kind of evaluate the next steps in terms of, okay, who is there someone that through the league rules we can talk to a second time beginning Monday that we want to do that with, right? And Ben Johnson can't be that guy unless Detroit loses. You can't have a second meeting with Ben Johnson if Detroit wins this week until after the NFC Championship game. That extra week between the title game and the Super Bowl, he would be available in Detroit, or, of course, if the Lions lose in the NFC Championship game, he'd be available after that. But you're not having a second meeting with Ben next week. I think there's probably been some confusion for people out there in regard to that the January 20th date is the first time you can talk to anyone that's employed by another NFL team. So, for instance, Mike Kafka, Drew Petsing, their teams haven't been in the postseason. Monday's still the first chance you could meet face-to-face with them. I'm just using their names off of the list, like a couple guys they talked to earlier in the process. But Ben Johnson, because the Lions could still be available in the playoffs, separate rules to talk to him altogether. And same for Todd Monken or Joe Brady, if their teams advance. And obviously one of those, one of Brady and Monken will be going home after Sunday night, which that should be a whale of a ballgame.
So, Brad, we were talking earlier and just wondering if you could offer your informed opinion or educated guess, whether it's Ben Johnson, and I think that would be the top of the scale, or, you know, Mike McCarthy maybe in terms of plan B, what would be the salary range that you guess that these guys are either seeking or the Bears are willing to go?
Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. And that's the crazy thing. Like, there's no salary cap on coaches' salaries, right? And they're not public. So you can talk to agents and maybe get a feel for what guys are at. To me, the incoming, like the going rate now is probably entry level here. Entry level is got to be north of $5 million. Like, there are coordinators in the league now, without question, making $4 million a year. Like, how much more than that? I don't know. But there's multiple coordinators in that range. So, you know, if Ben Johnson's got leverage, he could, I don't know. Does the number start with a one? Does it get close to that? Maybe. McCarthy has got a ton of experience, so I think you got to pay for that. But again, is there leverage? Like, do the Saints want him? Like, that could drive that price up. So however you slice it, it's going to be an expensive proposition for the Chicago Bears, as they're going to be paying in 25 and 26 their new coach, when they're also paying off the final 2 years of Matt Eberflus's contract, which had to be north of $5 million a year.
Yeah, I always wonder about that, and I think that, you know, there was a report that the Raiders aren't going to be outbid, and they gave Gruden a ton of money. So I think that would indicate, I just don't want anyone going on the cheap. I don't know. I don't want anyone looking for a bargain, even if they have to pay off another coach, right? Those are, to me, that's cost that is gone. You can't control that, and you got to just be in the right ballpark. And I feel confident that they will be, but because I don't think they're necessarily cheap or anything like that. But that is always going to be something people wonder.
Well, the Bears, through decades of behavior, earned that skepticism, right? I mean, for like a long, long, long time, they absolutely earned that. So they're going to have to wear it for the foreseeable future, and it's going to require actions, not words. But they haven't been shy about spending money in the longest long time I've been covering the team, like, it hasn't been a money issue. Like, the lack of sustained success and some of the total failure that they've had along the way, it's not because they're cutting corners to save a few bucks here and there. They just haven't spent the money properly. And that problem has been compounded over and over and over again.
So this weekend, a couple unorthodox candidates, perhaps. Todd Monken, the Ravens coordinator. Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator. Flores kind of known as an intimidating presence. Monken kind of an in-your-face personality. Both guys don't fit the profile of your typical McCaskey employee. What do you think of their chances, Brad? And do you think that they have reputations around the league that would scare off the Bears?
Yeah, I hope the Bears aren't I hope none of what they're doing in this process has been clouded by, like, reputation or
right.
We heard this about this guy. Like, if that's the case, what are you doing talking to the guy? Like, if you're going to have a if your opinion's going to be shaded a little bit from the jump, what are you even doing? Monken's had just extraordinary amount of success at various stops, super creative. I think he's really interesting for them to talk to. Can he make that jump to head coach? We mentioned it when his name came up, I think it was at the beginning of the week. He's been a head coach before. It was at Southern Miss, I believe is where it took place. But he's been in that role before. Is he ready to do that in the NFL? Will that play to his strengths? You know, I don't know the answers to those questions. In terms of Flores, had an awful lot of success, but guys, the Bears have got a gap that they've got to bridge between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams and other quarterbacks in the NFC and the NFL, and I just don't know that knowing that they got to make up that ground, that they would go with a defensive head coach. You can't rule them out, but I think Flores or any coach with a defensive background is a real underdog at this point with Mike Vrabel off the board and hired by the Patriots.
Yeah, I wonder, and this is a curious question, I suppose, but the fact that Todd Monken is from here, is that a plus or a negative?
In other words, is it a factor at all?
Well, I mean, the fact that he would have an opinion of the Bears based on, and it's different, I think, with someone like Mike Kafka, because he's so much younger, that, you know, this is a guy that probably has heard more Bear stories or knows more Bears background just based on his age.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably wondering, based on his age, he's probably wondering if they spend money at Halasol, right? Like, he would be curious about that. But I don't think local ties probably plays into this. I would hope not. It's gonna be really interesting to see how this plays out, because they've got to get it right. The quarterback's got to be a player, right? Look at the eight teams that remain in the playoffs right now, and stack them up in whatever order you want in terms of, I think these three or four have the best shot of winning it all. And the quarterback plays just it's elite, right? And it's year in and year out. It's week in and week out. And the Bears didn't get there this season with Williams, and that's okay. Like, it's tough for a rookie coming into the league, but it's not going to be okay 24 months from now, right? If you haven't arrived at that point, good luck figuring it out. The odds are really, really stacked against you if you're that deep in your career to emerge then as an elite quarterback.
I agree with that. I understand where you're coming from. I also think it's interesting to look at the eight teams left and realize that five of them have your proverbial, air quotes, defensive head coach. And you look at the Chiefs, Rams, and Eagles being the teams that fit the criteria that we're talking about, head coach with the quarterback, and that symmetry with Andy Reid and Sean McVay and Nick Sirianni with their quarterbacks. So I don't know if that is relevant to the Bears' situation. I don't know if it gives them evidence to go one way or another. But if they don't hire the, quote, offensive-minded head coach, there is evidence that you can still have successful seasons, get deep in the playoffs, if you hire the right play caller.
Yeah, you've got to get the right play caller, and but you got to get the right coach that's going to get this guy right, because if you do, your offensive coordinator is going to leave at some point, which it would be. I mean, remember when the Bears had that like 6-week stretch under Luke Getsy, when that became the popular topic? Like, oh my God, people are going to come for Luke Getsy as a head coach. What will they do then? it would be a phenomenal problem for the Bears to have at some point in the future. Is their offensive coordinator got poached by another team because their quarterback was so good? Like, dream about it, folks. Don't be weary. Don't you know? Oh my, the sky's falling. What are we gonna do? Like, that would be an amazing problem for them to have at Halas Hall. They'd trade a lot of stuff that they've gone through to be in that position. So, but the quarterback's got to be right. Like, you've got to get the coaching for him to be this elite talent, this guy who's the top prospect that's come around in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years at the position. Like, he's got to perform at that level. He was not at that level this season. The help around him wasn't at the appropriate level. Now they're fighting time. Again, you go too far into a young quarterback's career where it's just kind of, good this week, not good that week. They don't emerge from the wilderness of mediocrity deeper into their career to become elite quarterbacks. That's really, really difficult to do.
I got to ask you, the games this weekend, are they, I mean, this is usually the best weekend. This could be a lot of fun. The Baltimore-Buffalo game looks like it's going to be sensational. But who do you think? I mean, is it round up the usual suspects? Do you believe that this is kind of preordained a little bit? Do you know who's going to win, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't think it's preordained. I'm hoping you get some big point spreads, and Joe here will probably have clearer ideas than I do on this. We talked about it Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was. We did not have Super Wild Card Weekend this past weekend. Like, that was can the Rams? I haven't been impressed with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' passing offense all season. Like, it's just, even when they've been winning, you've looked at it and been like, it just, something's just off a little bit there. Can the Rams on a short week go across the country and hang in that game against Philadelphia? I don't know. They get the veteran quarterback, would lead you to believe maybe they got a shot there. I hope that's a good game. Detroit's defense, we know how many injuries it's had. Can Washington find a way to stay balanced? The Lions have been difficult to run on. Can the Commanders remain balanced to help out the rookie quarterback on the road and stay in that ballgame? I don't know. Detroit kind of looks like a wagon right now. I'm not the first person that would have said that, but Chiefs-Texans, I feel like we've seen that game a bunch of times before. And then, yeah, Sunday night, Baltimore-Buffalo. That's going to be fantastic. I don't My question would be, can the Buffalo Bills effectively stop or control the Ravens' running game? I think that's the big question I have about that ball game.
Good stuff, Brad. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games and enjoy the Sosa interview.
Yeah, we're gonna have to circle back on that Monday or Tuesday, guys.
Let's do that. I'm looking forward to it.
You're the best, Big Z. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, football man from the Chicago Tribune.
Lots of thoughts.
Big Z's got a ton of baseball knowledge.
Oh, he does.
He's a huge baseball
Son's
guy.
A heck of a pitcher in high school.
Yeah.
And obviously, he spends a lot of time at the ballpark in the diamond. And he definitely has a lot of thoughts.
All righty. We're going to get to your calls. 312-644-6767.
Want to ask you when we come back. Will there be somebody you watch over this weekend that's going to make you cringe if you're a Bears fan?
I'm going to need further explanation of the question. We'll do that next. Mully and Ho on the Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
First and goal, Montgomery in the backfield. Lions trying to strike first. Hand off Montgomery, running to the right. Walk-in touchdown! Untouched, Montgomery for the score. And the Lions strike first in this huge NFC North battle.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you, Westwood One, for making Bears fans nauseous this morning. David Montgomery scores again. David Montgomery scores it all. David Montgomery could score this weekend against the Commanders. He's coming back after being written off and getting his third opinion on his knee. Third opinion. Where did he go for that? But I digress. David Montgomery being as big of a part of the Lions offense as he has become, coming back from injury at this level, at this round, when he plays such a meaningful role in that offense, I think you're going to wonder what might have been again. He's a constant reminder that the Bears made him an offer. Bears made him an offer. He chose the Lions over the Bears. That tells me, yes, he wanted to move on and find a culture that was a winning culture. It also tells me the Bears' offer wasn't good enough. Meanwhile, comma, in the AFC playoffs, the Ravens and their defense will take on Josh Allen and the Bills. And every time Roquan Smith makes a tackle, I will be reminded why I have such little doubt. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Why I have such little confidence and why I am full of doubt about Ryan Poles. I don't know that that's fair, but it is honest. Roquan Smith, to me, represented everything you wanted in a Bears linebacker. Number one, drafted by your own team and organization. Number two, a tackle machine. Number three, I don't care if he was an off-the-ball linebacker. He made every tackle. He is their Ray Lewis. When Roquan Smith and David Montgomery make plays this weekend for teams that are thinking Super Bowl, it will remind me to be hesitant in being confident in the Bears regime.
Well, I think you're forgetting that they have Jervon Dexter and Noah Sewell as a result of that trade.
And maybe the quarterback because of that trade.
Explain.
Well, if Roquan is as good as David likes to tout him. David, do you have a purple T-shirt with a zero on it?
I should get one.
Yeah.
Somebody can send me one. I'm getting a jersey. You want me to get a jersey of Roquan? Where can I get a jersey? I don't want the big jersey.
If you don't stop saying the word jersey.
I want a jersey. I want a Roquan Smith jersey.
Can I pick up a jersey of the new Cubs Friday gear out at CubsCon this weekend?
You like that?
Do you want to get into that? We can touch on that.
We'll get onto that later. I just went there with the jersey. But let's stick to Roquan Smith.
All right, Roquan Smith.
If he's as good as David wants to tell us he is, in the break, the Ravens' new version of Ray Lewis. Okay, no offense. As much as I don't like Brian Urlacher, I don't know that Roquan Smith can carry Brian Urlacher's jockstrap.
You're making this sound like I'm on a football island waving the flag for Roquan Smith and wearing a zero jersey.
You and the Ravens.
No, not me and the Ravens. Check. Was he all pro?
It's a lot of dough for what he does.
He was all pro, Dustin.
The Bears, he was a luxury item at that position. Dustin, the Bears were not in a position to keep that guy around.
How much money are they paying the guy they brought in to replace?
They got two linebackers for the price of one. They got two. They're paying a guy that they should cut, who I've been against all year, Edmonds. They should cut him. Okay. And the other guy, 53, our teammate here at the Score, local guy made good, they're paying those two guys, what Roquan's making.
With all due respect, TJ Edwards is a very solid linebacker.
Tackling machine.
Their defensive MVP, but he's not Roquan Smith.
You could have gotten him with Roquan.
Yes.
Okay.
You could find a way.
He's not the one making the big money.
My point is, if Roquan Smith's that good, the Bears might have won a couple more games with him in the middle, and then the Bears wouldn't have been
Dustin,
in a position to
with due
have
respect,
gotten that pick.
Roquan Smith is that good. All you've got to do is remove your bias, take emotion out of the equation, watch the tape, and see him make every freaking tackle. He makes all of the tackles.
I can't wait for Josh Allen to truck him.
Brandon, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going back. What David was talking about, he's going to cringe if he sees Montgomery and Roquan Smith. I think you would agree with this, Mully. The one play that I'm going to see over the weekend that's going to make me cringe is Jalen Carter, because we could have drafted that guy.
Oh, man.
And seeing him go out there and play, that to me is the one that's going to make me cringe.
You know, I when it's all said and done, as good as that trade was, if you came away with a guy who's headed to the Hall of Fame, let's be honest about it, his career, that guy is – he is like King Kong.
Already all pro, second year.
Well, if you want to extrapolate that out, how would Roquan Smith look behind a defensive line that includes Dalen Carter?
Wow.
Because you know what? If you had a – I don't want to put that all on polls because I was one of those guys that was very cautious about Dalen Carter.
And you were wrong.
I was wrong. Okay, I'll own it.
I couldn't believe.
I was wrong about Jalen Carter.
They made that trade and still had a chance to get him, and then that stopped me cold.
The Bears did not have the infrastructure for whatever reason to absorb a player that was that iffy. The
wrong
Eagles
guy,
did.
Wrong time. That's all it was. Wrong guy, wrong time. They couldn't do it. No way.
Do you disagree with that?
Totally, 100%.
I'll tell you something.
Come on.
Like, honest to God, the truth is that like as much as we want to say – that we would love to have a team of choir boys and, you know, we could hear them sing as the team was running them over. You need some werewolves, man. You need some players that are maybe of questionable character, maybe come from rough air. I don't know what it is.
I don't disagree with that.
You need people that can play, period, end of story. Not people that can look good on bloody HBO.
But at least would you accept this? Darnell Wright with that pick.
Okay, he's their only decent.
Hold on. Darnell Wright with that draft pick and position is a more adequate substitute for what you, for those resources, that resource, when you could have gotten Jalen Carter then. Tremaine Edmonds has been replacing Roquan Smith.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
So if it's that kind of thing.
That's fair.
Darnell Wright at least has become an above average right tackle.
I'll tell you something else, and no one wants to hear this, but when you signed Swift, wasn't he like the first guy signed? So for me, when I see Baltimore's run game go off, when I see the Eagles' run game go off, I'm going to be sitting there like, so who did you jump in to get signed right away?
DeAndre Swift.
No offense to Swift. I think he'd make like a really good third down back. I just don't think he's a carry the rock every down in, down out.
He's a compliment to a power back, but you don't have the power back. So I think what you're saying is backs are putting together
all the yardage known to man.
Not to put words in your mouth, but you're suggesting that had you had a different approach, you might have been ambitious enough to pursue and get Saquon Barkley or make an offer to Derrick Henry. These are the guys that have redefined or maybe reminded us, is a better way to put it, how effective a team can be when they invest in the running back position that was supposedly left for dead. Not so fast. Not so fast. Those two guys are as responsible for the Eagles and the Ravens, respectively, to be considered Super Bowl contenders because of who they are in their respective offenses.
If you had a guy like that in Chicago, that would come in awful handy.
Are you kidding me?
And as Bill Belichick once said, do they know that it gets cold in Chicago?
You can't ignore that. You can't ignore. I mean, you can mock the bear weather thing, and you can look at some of the realities of today's NFL. But you also look at what Belichick said and you're nodding your head. Yeah. If the Bears had a power running game, this might be a different conversation.
And to me, the Carter versus Wright question has nothing to do with whether or not one guy should have been taken over the other. You should fix the offensive line and not have to use that draft pick to do it.
That's fair.
You could have when you have a chance at a game-breaking, game-changing player, you should always take him.
708 says that I am completely ignoring positional value from my analysis. The Bears weren't winning anything with Roquan. Positional value? Give me an all-pro player. I don't care what position he plays. That's something you don't have. That's something you don't have. All right, we got to take a break and get to Joe Fortenbaugh. But before we do, Molly, want to let people know. We have two great giveaways all week. We've been giving this stuff away. Chris Stapleton, Mully's favorite guy, sings that Tennessee Whiskey song.
Favorite song.
The All-American Road Show. And four packs of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show. Keep it right here. We will give away both giveaways before the end of the show today.
All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Where can I get a jersey?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's our favorite guy, Joe Fortbaugh, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. You can hear Joe weekdays on ESPN, ESPN Bet, and of course, every time you turn around, there's more good news regarding Joe and his stellar career. Congrats, Joe, on all the wonderful things happening in your life.
You are a well-dressed man, too, Joe.
I appreciate it, boys. I appreciate it. But I got problems on the horizon. I got a big weekend coming up, and not for all the reasons people would think. I don't know how many people driving around right now can relate to this, but we got an interesting situation in the Fortinball household Sunday afternoon, Ravens-Bills. As many people know, I married into Bills Mafia, very supportive of the fan base, love my wife very much. I want to make sure I get all that out there. However, this is not going to be the first time in which I have bet against the Bills in a big game while also watching the game with her. So there is a very delicate juggling act that is going to take place over 3.5 hours in which I will be silently and internally rooting for the Ravens, but publicly and outwardly, I will have to make it seem as if I want the Bills. So if Josh Allen makes a mistake and throws an interception, you'll hear me go, oh, I can't believe he threw that. Oh, don't worry. We'll get it back. We'll get it back. And it's like this really delicate juggling act. So it's always great to be here. But I got to tell you, I got a lot on my mind heading into this weekend.
Joe, I got to tell you, when you watch you on television, hearing you on our show and elsewhere, never get that inner conflict. It never comes through.
That's David, that's all my life is inner conflict. I just drive around with the highest level of anxiety you could possibly imagine. I would love for a psychiatrist to step inside my body and my brain for one day so that when they're done with it in 30 minutes, they look at me and they're like, there's no medication in the world that can solve the problems you have, pal. And all of it's self-inflicted. Like, I'm voluntarily going into this scenario where I'm going to have to fake cheer for the Bills for 3.5 hours. And then think about this, and I've done this before and had this happen. The Bills end up winning. I'm miserable because I lost money, but now I got to celebrate all damn afternoon with her.
You know what's beautiful about this? What's beautiful is you work this out in your own head, and you don't have to, like, go on the radio and announce it, so she can't get word from some friend of hers who happened to be in Chicago at O'Hare and heard you go off.
Well, first of all, I have plenty of practice with this. It's not the first time I've done it, which is even sicker when you think about it. Number two, while I'm fortunate that she probably is not connected to anyone listening in Chicago right now, she does have some family members who watch me on TV. And earlier this week, I made this stupid joke as well. I was telling this anecdote, and like right away, I started getting texts from people in Buffalo. And I was like, all right, look, keep it to yourself. It's just TV. It's just stick. You know, I'm just kidding around. And now I'm lying to them. So this whole web of lies has gotten so deep and dark, I can't even keep track of it all.
Love it, Joe. All right, let's get started with the games on Saturday.
All right, so I obviously like the Ravens this weekend, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Starting with Saturday, let's rip through. I wanted to play Houston. I'm not. I'll explain that in the analysis for why we're going under 41.5 points. All right? I don't think we can trust the Houston offense. No Tank Dell, questionable offensive line, but the news came out last night and this morning. Joe Mixon, their running back, injured his ankle in practice yesterday. He's questionable for the game. That's a death blow to these guys. Since Tank Dell went down, they're averaging only 13 offensive points per game in 3 games. They're going to Kansas City. The Chiefs are going to have the crowd noise behind them, the extra prep. I don't think Houston's going to be able to move the ball much, but they do have a solid pass rush going up against a bad Kansas City offensive line. Solid secondary for the Texans. I think it's a rock fight. We're going to go under 41.5. Player props, Texans tight end Dalton Schultz, over 3.5 receptions, over 39.5 yards. Cheap prices for a guy who is going to have a role in this game because his team's going to trail and there are no other weapons outside of Nico Collins. Game number two, the Lions game against the Commanders. I'm on the under a little bit here, 55.5, a little bit. It's a huge number. It's the highest total we've seen since 2020. These two teams can score, but they also take their time getting down the field. They're top five in the NFL in terms of length of scoring drive. I think the crowd noise could get to the Commanders a little bit here and limit, not stop, but limit them. So we go under 55.5. Another tight end prop, Sam Laporta, over 49.5 receiving yards. I would say the Detroit game is the one where I'm the least confident. So if you're grading these at home with your bet wagers, that would be a small wager in terms of the Lions under. Going to Sunday, I like Philadelphia minus the 6. I like the first half under 21.5. I like the full game under 44. Really tough spot for the Rams. Just played Monday night. Back-to-back road games because that game got moved from L.A. to Arizona on Monday night. Mm. Travel across the country. Cold weather. Great Eagles defense. People talking about how great Stafford is. Yeah, Stafford's one of the best quarterbacks in the league against the blitz. We saw that last week. Brian Flores was blitzing him like crazy, even though any idiot with access to a website knows that Stafford crushes the blitz. So he blitzes him, and he gets shredded for it, right? The Eagles don't blitz. They blitz the fifth fewest in the NFL. They can rush with four and cover in the back end. Stafford's average against no blitz. Bo Nix has a better quarterback rating. So I think it's going to be tough for the Rams to move the ball. Philly, I think, struggles a little bit on offense because Jalen Hurts doesn't look right, but the defense and the running game lead the way. Philly covers the 6, first half under, full game under. And then finally, obviously, we know I'm on the Ravens minus the 1 thanks to the early rant. I'm also going to play under 25.5 in the first half. I think both teams are coming out looking to run. Lamar Jackson last week, and here's another bet, his rushing prop over 49.5. He came out last week. He ran the ball 15 times against Pittsburgh, his most since week 1 against Kansas City. That is a message. All right, that wasn't a strategy. That's a message. They're going out this year. They're going out on their shield. What do I mean by that? Last year in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, they dropped back the pass on 14 of their first 21 offensive plays. It was a foolish strategy, and it produced foolish results in which they lost at home 17-10. I think they know this year, look, if we're going down, we're going down with what we do best, which is running the ball. They're going to run. Buffalo's going to run. You saw the 6 offensive linemen last week against Denver. They want to grind that clock all the way down. I'm a little scared that they could open it up in the fourth quarter and really get into a shootout, which is why we're going to go first half under 25.5. Ravens minus 1. Lamar Jackson over 49.5 rush yards.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Joe, we won't be seeing you or talking to you before the national championship game. Is there any way that the local guys make good Notre Dame Fighting Irish can send Marcus Freeman to Chicago? No. Can they win the game?
Well, given the fact that I'm approaching the Bills-Ravens game in front of my wife the way I've already detailed, I might not be watching this game. I might not be around for it either. So this could be it for us in Chicago. And it's been great. It's been great. I hate that we're ending on this one. I like Ohio State. Here's the thing. I'm looking at it's Notre Dame money's coming in 9.5 down to 8. Okay. So respect the money. I'm supposed to do that. On top of that, Notre Dame's been very, very good. The problem I'm having here is that Ohio State's defense in 3 playoff games against good offenses, Texas, Oregon, Tennessee, 17 points per game. That's all they're giving up, 17 points per game. Notre Dame's a relatively one-dimensional offense, right? They run the ball very well, but if they fall behind in this game by a couple scores, they're going to have to throw, and that's not really their game. Now, on top of that, everyone's going to tell me how great the Notre Dame defense is. That's also true. Notre Dame's been fantastic. I love what Freeman's done, all right? This isn't to knock him. It's just they play a very high rate of man coverage, cover one, okay? That is not going to work against this Ohio State wide receiver unit. These dudes are pros. They're so fast. Oregon tried to play man coverage and got shredded. So ultimately, I think it's Ohio State. I'd lay the points. Will Howard, the quarterback, over 249.5 passing yards. Because, again, against man coverage, I think he eats them up a little bit. But if I'm wrong, I won't be surprised because Freeman's done a hell of a job coaching these guys up. And they have played very tough, physical, disciplined football for a while now.
Love you, but I hope you're wrong. That's great analysis, though.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's spot on.
Look, you're not the only one, all right? Same thing with my wife in this Baltimore game. Everyone loves me. They all hope I'm wrong. There's not a single person on earth rooting for Joe Fornball this weekend.
I think we have a healthy group of supporters who follow your picks, Joe, and mimic them. So, yeah, you got a lot of people rooting for you.
Trust me, I know. When they're wrong, they let me know. They are in the mentions. They are in the mentions. But the thing is, there's so many good ones, too. We've been doing this for so long. That's one of my favorite things about getting hot. It's not so much about the money that I get to make. It's the fact that I know there are so many people in Chicago who have listened to this segment for so long. They're running hot as well. I think it's fantastic. So, again, the opportunity to come on with you guys every week, that blessing is not lost on me. I always love it, and I love the interactions I've had with Chicago fans ever since, because there's a lot of people I've been talking to on social who have been listening to this forever, and it's just awesome. It's like an awesome way to connect with sports fans about a variety of things. And I mean, like, I get to do a national radio show and I get to talk about you guys sometimes, which I love it. I mean, let's go. We need more candidates interviewed. We got to get that. We got to pump those numbers up. We got to get at least 50 guys in there.
Great stuff, Joe. Have
You're
a great
the best,
weekend.
Joe. Have a great one.
Love you, boys. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
Go get a coach, Bears.
Bears.
Oh, Bears. 312-644-6767. Always a delight to talk to Joe. And we'll get to your calls next. Mully and Haw on the Score.